This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hour. Welcome back into the whole show. I don't know if I sound any different, but the beard is gone. The hair, I look like a human again. The Dirty 30 is officially over. The Rockies are 30 and 48. We had fun with it. Thank you, Susan and Cheryl. One guy who got behind this from the very beginning, great friend of mine, I think pretty great friend, probably best friends, Coach Mike Sanford, Altitude Radio's Coach Mike Sanford. Not only was he in on this and thought this was fun and maybe crazy, he actually predicted that the Rockies would win their 30th game on the 20th day of June, and that is exactly what they did. He predicted this at the beginning of the season. Coach, what did you know and when did you know it, man?
Well, yeah, first off, Brady, we are best friends.
Yes, thank you.
We're brothers in Dirty 30 arms to begin with.
Couldn't have done it without you.
Second of all, I want to make it very clear, I am a bearded wonder myself. So the Dirty 30 for me was actually not to get rid of my beard or get a haircut. Ended up being a friendly bet between me and Alex Ryanemi, Raj, who's my co-host on the morning sprint on Altitude Sports Radio 92.5 from 10 to noon. And, you know, he was telling me that without a question, the Rockies are going to lose well over 100 games. And, you know, I was like, Raj, I actually think this team's going to be a whole lot better. And just utilizing analytics at all, let alone getting one of the best minds in all of sport in the analytics space in Paul DePodesta, like, that might be worth 20 wins right there. So, sure enough, last year the Dirty 30 was reached on August 2nd.
That was a rough
very
go.
Bold of me to predict June 20th. We went back and checked. It was on March 27th that I predicted the June 20th. And even crazier is Alex Ryanemi looked up the schedule and he said it's going to happen against Paul Skeens, which is even wilder. So there were some serious Raj Stradamus and Coach Stradamus happening on Altitude Sports Radio. And the bet for us was dive bar of our choice, loser or the person that's not close to the date. And Raj had picked July 6th, I believe, is that he would have the bar tab for the other individual and his spouse. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little get together at Platte River Bar and Grill. That was my dive bar of choice here in right off Santa Fe in Littleton.
Well, okay, can you raise a glass for me, Mike? I would appreciate it because I enjoyed this, actually. I like growing the beard out once in a while, growing the hair out, just see what it looks like. But there's a stretch that I finally hit. I have a cowlick that's not just on my head. It goes through my face as well. So I had one part of the beard curling around the ear, the other part straight down. The right side of my face was completely unmanageable. So the last two or three weeks, I was ready. And Saturday night, when they're up 2-1, I'm thinking, they're going to get my hopes up. This is going to happen. They're going to get my hopes up here, and we're going to continue this, and it's going to go into next week. And it ended in a bizarre way, but they got it done. So, I mean, it couldn't have come at the right time. I was at the end of this thing. I was ready to be done.
Is there anything more Rockies than the Dirty 30 ending on a day in which Jake McCarthy has a Little League home run inside the porker and just legs it out and throws on his purple coat, you know, just and then you win on a like, I still don't really see the interference call at Karros, Drew. It's just wild to me. But you know, at the end of the day, It was meant to be, and it was fairly glorious. Now, I'm not going to allow you nor any of your listeners to rest on your laurels, because I've already moved on to the next thing that will make Rockies baseball not just, you know, watchable at a very minimum, but actually must-see baseball as we go through the summer and into the fall. And I've now launched this morning on my show, should you choose to accept, is Mission 63. And that is the date that is predicted that the Colorado Rockies get to 63 wins and thus end their streak of seasons with 100 or more losses in a season.
Oh my gosh.
I have predicted September 25th, and that is a game at the Chicago White Sox in game 160 of the season, and I'm picking that day to be the glorious day that all things that are evil and terrible must come to an end, and that is the day that the Colorado Rockies no longer are the laughingstock of 100 lost seasons in back-to-back-to-back years.
September 25th against Chicago. Okay, I'm writing it. I'm going to have to think about that. Are you doing anything? Are we putting anything on the line here? I'm not sure I'm ready to go.
This was another Raj. Okay, so Raj is his prediction is that the Rockies are going to finish with exactly 100 losses.
Okay.
So that in and of itself is a prediction. And I'm picking September 25th for the end of the reign of horribleness, and that's going to be the 63rd win for the Rockies.
If you get
a double digit loss season, so we're putting a steakhouse bet on the line, and it's bougie this time. It's bougie. But either one of them has to hit on the day or exactly 100 losses. So it's not a closest to the pin. It's a hole in one challenge.
If you get this right, I think you need to go to fairs around the country and just set up a booth. I seriously, if you get this right, you know, you can wear one of the hats and everything, man. It'd be like the movie Big, and you could just start predicting futures for everybody and granting wishes. Because if you nail this, man, I mean, what else is there to do? You've already arrived.
There's nothing more, Coach Mike Sanford, and I don't like to refer to myself in the third person, but there's nothing more on brand for me than getting this prediction right and having absolutely $0 invested in the betting markets. Because Raj found out just kind of like he reached out to a couple of the betting sponsors on Altitude Sports Radio, and they put the odds of that bet hitting at plus 20,000.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even do it. Yeah, like the math on that. Would be like it's you could insane. Put a very low amount on that and make some serious change.
Crazy to think about it. But yeah, I mean, it's made Rockies baseball fun to watch. And frankly, let's just call it like it is. Rockies baseball is pretty fun to watch this year. You know, there's intelligence behind what they're doing. The trade deadline is going to be fascinating because there are multiple players that could very easily command a haul, which is a good place to be. If they can just shore up the bullpen, there are some really fun, exciting young players that are hitting well, and it's become like Father's Day tickets at Coors Field for yesterday's game, where you know the get-in price was $50. Like, that hasn't happened in a long time. I mean, there's been days where the get-in price has been $4. So I mean, it's becoming a better product. And I think we can tip the cap already to Paul DePodesta and what he's been able to do, just from an intellectual perspective.
No question. And the fact that there are a handful of guys, not just one or two guys, there's a handful of guys that you could say, hey, they could either command a haul in a trade, or maybe there are other guys you can build this around. And that's exciting. You know, last year, we decided to do Tanner kind of came up with this plan. He's like, I'm not going to shave. I'll only shave when they win a series. Every time they win a series, I'll shave. Then, of course, maybe after one too many adult drinks, I said, you know what? I am not having a good time watching the Rockies. I'm bored out of my mind. I feel like it's a job to watch the Rockies. So I'm doubling down on the bet. That's why we started doing this. Tanner joined me on this, and we said, let's make it interesting at least throughout the season. And it was. But I hope someday, Coach, they don't need us. They don't need the Dirty 30 to make the Rockies interesting. And I think that day is almost upon us. Maybe it'll be in the future, but we're getting there.
Yep. It sounds crazy. I think It sounds crazy on both sides, but I think the Colorado Rockies are going to be in the playoffs in 3 years. They finally have at least the path forward that makes sense to say, okay, there's a handful of 24 to 28-year-old players that either could be dealt or could be long-termed that are exciting baseball players that can hit and get on base and keep the line moving. And now it's just about getting the bullpen and the starting rotation into a place that's at a very minimum is competitive. I do think Hunter Goodman's a player you got to hold on to. Right now he's fifth in Major League Baseball in home runs, and I think you have to have that in Colorado. You have to have one guy that is a true home run hitter, and that's kind of been sorely lacking from the Rockies organization, for a good chunk of the last 25 years. I think you got to continue to find flamethrowers that can light it up, in the high 90s or, low 100s. And because it's hard, man. Movement pitchers just don't work at altitude. So it's going to be interesting to see how the build continues. But I, at the very least, I'm excited that it's a product that is watchable now.
Yeah, no question. Coach Mike Sanford joining us. And going back to that final win, the 30th win for this Rockies team, I had no idea with Kyle Karros. I'm like, what are you doing, man? You didn't even, what's happening out there? I didn't really even pay attention to whoever the guy was running from second to third.
I wasn't
even watching him. All I was watching was Karros and the ball, and then he just pulled up and looked around. I thought, no, they're going to tie this thing. They're going to win this thing. The Rockies are going to fizzle in the bottom of the ninth, and here we go again. But fortunately for us, at least, I know Pirates fans might not feel the same way, but the umpires get together and say, yeah, that was interference. So that's an out, game over, Rockies win. It's over.
Do you think that Kyle Karros was actually playing four-dimensional chess when he did what he did? Because he charged the ball. He saw the runner, really kind of throw caution to the wind. And, I mean, really the control was in his hands that he could make contact with his glove on the back foot of the base runner. And then he immediately pled a contest to the ruling. So I'm kind of wondering, was there brilliance in what Kyle Karros was doing there to get win number 30? I think it may have been wisdom beyond his years. I watched my dad do this at a really high level for a very long period of time. And so there might be some really heady baseball that was being done. Do you think that was something he kind of knew exactly what he was doing?
I don't know, man. He could have been watching the NBA Finals or the Western Conference Finals with OKC. Could have been watching the World Cup and learning how to take a little bit of a dive, a little bit of a charge. And he's like, I'm just going to seek contact and we're going to get the call. Maybe so.
Either way, it was brilliant. Win number 30 is here and secure. It was weird, right when he gets win number 30, I'm like, they might not win another game for 2 weeks.
No, but it
was so glorious, and sure enough, Father's Day with a massive crowd, and ended up rallying and made the game fairly competitive at the end. But it's really really interesting stuff. So I'm curious to see how this thing how it trends. And my magic number for trades at the deadline, or I think three pieces are going to get traded at the deadline, and I do think that your starting pitcher Shugano will end up being part of that at the deadline. You could probably get something in return for him. The thing that scares me is Hunter Goodman's a catcher that is going to hit nearly 40 bombs. There could be a crazy amount of interest in him. I think it's worth parting ways with that. He's a unicorn, man. A catcher that hits for power like that. Even Buster Posey wasn't a guy that hit that many home runs or anywhere near it. So I'm curious to see how it all plays out, but it's gonna be really, really interesting.
Yeah, no question, man. And the fact that we're talking about a few names at least that might yield something in return is a good step in the right direction. Man, Mike, appreciate you, my friend. And hey, don't be a stranger. I loved going back and forth with you on this Dirty 30 business. And hey, let's do it all again next year, assuming there is a next year.
Mission 63, should you choose to accept it. I dare you to look closely
All right.
and see, is there a world that exists that the Colorado Rockies improve by more than 20 games and somehow find a way to get 63 or more victories, thus ending the streak of 100 loss seasons.
And that would be a massive improve, no question, man. There you go. Nostradamus himself, Coach Mike Sanford, always appreciate you, my friend, and look forward to catching up with you the next time.
All right, we'll talk to you, Brady. Keep up the good work.
All right, man, you too. There he is, Coach Mike Sanford. So he's throwing out another prediction. I got to tell you, Mike, I don't think I have the energy to do anything else. I got the hot dog eating contest coming up. That's going to take a lot of energy out of me.
You're going to be able to eat 4 hot dogs?
No, I'm eating 10. I'm eating 10. 10 hot dogs. That's the goal. A hot dog a minute. We're going to do it. 4 is easy. 4 all easily. You got the over under 4. Hammer
that. But it has
that,
to have the bun with it.
Bro, are you new to hot dog eating contest? The buns are always with the hot dog eating contest. Chestnut would be very upset with you.
I don't think you can eat more than 4.
Yeah, I could eat it. Yeah, I could do it. I'm going to get you to do this with me next year. It'd be like the tortoise and the hare kind of thing.
Do I have to pay for it?
The beautiful part, thank you for bringing this up. It's free to enter. If you think you got what it takes to beat me in a hot dog eating contest, I think we still got one spot left. We still got one spot, but you can't because you're producing this one, but maybe we could arrange something.
No.
Maybe. You're not interested? Even if it's free hot dogs.
Well, yeah, free hot dogs, but like I'm going to stop like after 2, like, I'm full, I'm done.
Well, you're a slow eater. You're a pretty slow eater.
I am.
So that's
going to... I like to savor my food.
That's going to go against you in this. I'm a fast eater, so that's what I'm going to go fast. We're going to see how many we can get while we're feeling okay. That way we don't hit that wall. I've never done an eating contest before in the history of my life. So I'm just going to go in, just like when I beat Tanner at Big City Roadhouse. I hadn't sprinted in years, and I just did it, relied on myself.
And you scared him away.
I did.
You scared him away from the hot dog eating contest.
I beat him so badly that it scared him away from competing against me in anything else. That's what happened.
I can see that. He couldn't compete against you in a race. He couldn't compete against you with the beard.
Yeah.
You seriously are a superior person.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. Sometimes you need to hear that. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So Coach Sanford's going in on he's pushing for the 63. I'm just going to watch for the love of the game for a while now, Mike. That's what I'm going to watch, the Rockies, for the love of the game. Because growing the beard...
The movie or the saying?
Stop. The growing the beard and the hair was a battle. It was hard work. It was hard work. But we got through it somehow. And today we feel like a person again. 22 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. What will the Nuggets do with that number 26 pick? Are they going to package that with some guy to try to offload a contract, or do you want them to keep that draft pick? We'll talk about the Nuggets. Also, Clip of the Day is coming up next.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Okay, so it seems as though we have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, The Hall Show's Clip of the Day.
All right, so Shams is predicting that there will be a blockbuster trade before the NBA draft. Here's what he had to say while he was on ESPN's Get Up. Here he is, Mike.
Saturday night, because I can't be bothered on Father's Day, because it's the final round of the U.S. Open. Oh, Shams is here, ladies and gentlemen, and that is perfect timing, because we begin this hour with breaking news. I've been saying all morning long that we are T-minus one day in counting to this self-imposed deadline of the Milwaukee Bucks trading Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I'm told you have news for us this morning. Shams, go.
Greeny, sources tell me a trade and a resolution is coming for the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis Antetokounmpo before the NBA draft on Tuesday night. The Bucks are in serious conversations with two finalists, the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Both teams are Giannis's preferred trade destinations, but both of these packages are different deals. The variance of these deals is drastic, is dramatic. With Boston, it's Jaylen Brown-led package. It's around a veteran player, obviously a superstar caliber player. In Miami, it's a group of cost-controlled players, rookie-scale contracts, significant draft capital in that deal. And so I do want to make this clear, though. Whichever deal occurs, whether it's today or tomorrow, it is going to be a one-to-one deal. It's going to consist of Milwaukee and likely one of these two teams, and that's how it's going to be. There's no third team, fourth team in any construct right now. Now, the sides could leave this open. Remember, when Kevin Durant was traded a year ago in June, it ended up just being, it ended with those two teams, but it turned into seven total teams by the end of the offseason. And so that could certainly happen here. But these have been intense negotiations. We know the Giannis situation. It's gone on for about 13 months now. The Bucks engaged in conversation at the deadline. They've been open for business since the draft combine in May. They've narrowed in on these two teams right now. Giannis, my understanding right now, he is ready to be traded, either Boston, either Miami, and we'll see what happens over the next 24 hours.
All right, there's Shams reporting on this. So we are expected to either way get a Giannis trade. This will be interesting where Milwaukee wants to go, because what the details of the potential trade tells me is that if Milwaukee goes and works with Boston to potentially get Jaylen Brown, that would mean Milwaukee's still saying, hey, we want to stay in touch. We want to be a playoff team. If they go the route of the Miami Heat, that might be more of a rebuild type situation for Milwaukee. So really curious to see how that is. I love the fact that if this blockbuster trade does happen, it's not going to involve 14 million teams. Like, that's one of the things in the NBA, and one of the other things that drives me nuts is the multiple team trades. If it's so complicated to get out of the aprons and into the aprons and stuff, you have to bring in other teams to help you out. If it confuses me, I don't like it. But Giannis Antetokounmpo potentially, not even potentially, it sounds like this is going to happen. And, you know, Shams said it's been like a 13-month saga. It feels like it's been more than 13 months since Giannis has really been bitching and talking about getting out of Milwaukee. I'm at the point now where just get the trade done, because I'm tired of hearing it every year that he's unhappy or ready to move on or what have you. And then he fires back on social media with people will think what they want to think. It's like, dude, you're feeding that fire and then you're upset when it erupts. Yes, Michael.
Isn't that why they have the apron? Because things are so messy.
Well, it was messy before. Stop it. It was messy before. I don't like. Are you doing something? Are you trying to be funny again? You
are aprons Urkel. Help with messes.
You are Urkel. You are 100% right. You are Urkel. It's always been complicated in the NBA. The aprons and all that just make it a bit more. But this would be interesting if it is just a two-team trade to get Giannis over there, and then to see Jaylen Brown go over to Milwaukee, possibly. Boston would be offering pretty much just Jaylen Brown. I don't know what else they would give on this, but for Miami, it would be several other younger players, cost-saving players, and that would essentially get Milwaukee in a spot where they're going to almost start from scratch. Jaylen Brown, on the other hand, would be someone that would say, hey, we are still trying to compete in the postseason. At least might not be a contender, but that we would still be kind of in the mix. The Celtics are coming off of a 56-26 season. They were the number two seed in the Eastern Conference, playing most of the season kind of without Jason Tatum, but I think there seems to be some kind of a rift there with Jaylen Brown, as he wants to be the guy, and he's not really the guy. It's Jason Tatum. But Brown was amazing this year. I mean, he averaged nearly 29 points per game as their centerpiece. So this is something to watch out for. Also, in other NBA news, we talked about Trae Young last week, too. Trae Young does intend to sign a four-year, $212 million deal to stay with the Wizards. So he will likely not be getting out on the market. What will the Nuggets do? DNVR Nuggets posting over the weekend that there are serious talks of being willing to discuss a trade of Zeke Nagy. Great. They should be willing to trade that guy every single day. Who's taking that contract in that's $9-plus million for a guy that doesn't really play outside of garbage time and necessity when you have multiple injuries? The only way I can really see offloading that contract is to add a draft pick, and that would be the number 26 pick. Also, a lot of the projections are indicating that the Nuggets, and it might be a good fit, would be to get St. Joseph's Zubi Ejiofor. And obviously, sounds interesting. But if he's not, if that's something you, they haven't been great in drafting over the years. They've obviously had some hits. They've had some good hits too. But, you know, when you just kind of look around at what they've done, Christian Brown, you could argue whether or not that hit or not. You did win a championship and he was a contributor for that. 2021, they drafted Bones Highland. I kind of thought, man, this is just the rich getting richer back in 2021. They're getting another young player that's going to come up and be good. And obviously, we know that didn't work out. Zeke Nagy was a first-round pick in the 22nd pick overall. And most of those guys have just, they're either there or they just haven't quite hit. Michael Porter Jr., obviously, that was a hit. And you won a championship with him, and he was a very good player for the Nuggets. Going to go down as one of their best three-point shooters ever. But really, it's not a crazy history of Denver finding key guys in the first round that have been good. Remember, Porter fell to them because he ended up going 14th overall, and that's because of all of his injuries. He didn't play a lot of college basketball. And so a lot of teams shied away from him. I think had they were able to do that over again, Porter would have went much higher than pick number 14. But overall, they haven't been that successful. You got new management in charge, blah, blah, blah. How will that play? Their draft history, how might that affect what they're willing to do as far as trading and moving off of contracts? Because so much of this is about what you can potentially do to clear room, re-sign Peyton Watson, but at the same time, keeping clear of that second apron. So that will be critical. 36 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Whole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Well, you can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Well, Nikola Jokic is the man for the Denver Nuggets, but the question is, what are you going to do to build around this guy now at this point? I mean, this is, it's not a young team anymore, and that window is... It's not closed. Anytime you have that great of a player on your roster, it's not closed. But this is actually a pretty significant summer for Denver. And the fact that we are seeing reports, you know, I mentioned the DNVR Nuggets report on the fact that they'd be willing to listen to trades for Zeke Nagy. A lot of rumors are going on. And just be careful with where how much stock you want to put into it. But at the same time, we're not idiots. We look at this and say, they should be listening to offers for Aaron Gordon. They should be listening to offers for Cam Johnson and Christian Brown. I don't know of all the rumors that I've seen over the last 4 or 5 days, the one name in there not mentioned is Jamal Murray. I haven't seen a lot of that. And on one hand, I get it. That is the tried and true thing that works for you. The two-man game between those two is still one of the best scoring actions in the league. And you want to be careful and not take away something that you know is good when really what you need to do is find different ways around. Get more creative with that. Don't rely on it so much. But do you want to punt it completely? I go back and forth on it all the time. I think as we sit here on the 22nd day of June, I'm more likely to say stay the course with Murray But if Aaron Gordon is commanding a lot of attention to where you are, you might get something that can help you in the immediate future and win next season. It's not just about a salary dump. Then you have to listen. But that's also you saying you're moving on from Aaron Gordon, which we all know, a healthy AG. He became closer to an all-star during his time with the Nuggets. And we all know his story, Mr. Nugget. We know how he changed his game so many different times to fit what Joker needs, what this team needs. That would be a tough one to say goodbye to. Because I still stand on it. Outside of draft trades, I think Gordon's got to be one of the best trades in Colorado sports history. Because of that trade, again, when you win a championship like that, it takes everybody. I get it. But you take Gordon off of that team, you're not winning a championship. That would be a tough one to take. But I can't sit here and say that I'm comfortable going back at it with the only real move you made this year was to offload contracts. Maybe good to offload them because I don't see a future for Zeke Nagy with the Nuggets. But the only real move you made was to offload contracts to make room for a Peyton Watson signing. That is a pretty incredible risk, essentially running it back. And I know some, the idea of moving on from AG and Christian Brown, and for some reason Cam Johnson has kind of got a lot of fanfare. And I get it, he was fine in the playoffs. But I don't think you can afford to, if you want another title. You know, I said this last Friday, I think, Mike. Getting one to me was you had to have one. If you have a three-time MVP on your team, and at the time the best player in the world, if you walk away with just one title or with no titles, that is an absolute loss. It's a travesty in sports. So you got the one that you had to have. I still think it's going to be very disappointing if you walk away from this thing and you've only got one title. And that's why Denver has to be very careful in their decision-making process here, because they made big moves last offseason, or I guess before the offseason even began. You fire your coach with three games to go. You fire your GM with three games to go. You make it to the second round, and you go seven with the Thunder. But then you take a very significant step back this year by losing in the first round to a depleted Minnesota Timberwolves team. Now, again, Denver wasn't right. Injuries really messed up most of their season. But when push came to shove, they were more healthy than Minnesota. And if you thought that their healthy roster could beat Minnesota's healthy roster, then you damn sure thought their somewhat injured roster should be able to destroy Minnesota's vastly injured roster. So to take a step back like that is a concern. And if you're telling me the only move that they make is to re-sign Peyton Watson and run it back by just moving on from a few contracts and staying out of the second apron, it's a good money-saving tool. You're avoiding luxury taxes and all that. I get it. But this is where fans get a little upset when they see the Kroenkes with all the teams they run. They're putting a lot of money and administering a lot of changes with some of those teams, but they're essentially going to run it back with their two Colorado teams being the Avalanche and the Nuggets. So we'll find out. The draft is tomorrow night. We could get some very interesting news here, you know, in the next 24 hours. If there are real suitors for, you know, taking a Zeke Nagy and offloading a contract, sending away a draft pick, or even a guy like Aaron Gordon. And it would be tough. That would be a bittersweet pill to swallow, but I'm glad I don't have to make that decision, because I'm a diehard fan of AG. But I also know that just running it back is a recipe for disaster. 47 minutes after the hour. What did we learn coming up next? Keep it here on The Whole Show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Did you know you can hear your favorite KFKA shows anytime? find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and the whole show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
All right, what do we learn on this 22nd day of June? We learned that the Dirty 30 is officially over. Very excited about that. Time to move on with our lives. And I learned that I'm kind of enjoying the World Cup. On Friday night, I thought it was terrible. And then I watched two completely different teams on Saturday and thought, I could maybe get into this a little bit. We also learned that we have a... there can be only one situation going on back there. We have another Micah. In the building as a summer intern.
It will be a fight to the death over who gets to produce your show.
I knew this was going to happen, which is why I renamed you to Michael. I do everything on purpose. I knew this was going to happen someday. That way you would feel okay and you'd have your own identity here, Michael. So don't feel threatened at this point.
I really like Michael.
See? Jerry even did it. What did you learn today, Michael?
I learned that you started watching soccer. And you're happy to shave that Dirty 30 beard.
Yeah.
Also, I haven't seen your face in months, so I forgot what you looked like.
You know, it's amazing. When I shaved it off, I was like, that looks different. That looks different. But it was time.
Do you feel like you look younger or older?
I definitely feel like I look younger. I don't know. That's for somebody else to decide. But the amount of white little beard hairs that were sticking out everywhere made me feel, certainly, like I was older.
Well, that's why they sell the beard oils and
next
all those
year,
grooming things.
Next year, if we do this again, I'm purchasing beard oil because I will be using it. I didn't want to commit because I felt like that was in a weird way hurting the cause. Like it was going to, it was almost signaling to the Rockies that, hey, I'm owning this now. I'm a bearded man, so I have beard oil. Continue to lose and not win 30.
Well, if you were doing this for the Nuggets, it would hurt the cause because Kosmiski... not
that's
happy
four for
it.
You today. That's four. That's four too many. But we'll let it slide, maybe, because it's Monday. We'll just move on. All right, we'll be back at it on a Tuesday. Don't forget, Rodeo Radio coming up here at the Greeley Stampede starting on Thursday night with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint, thanks to Lemons Heating and Cooling. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.